Now, as gunshots echo across the windswept, snow-covered reaches of the wild Northwest, Quaker puffed wheat and Quaker puffed rice, the breakfast cereal shot from guns, present Sergeant Preston of the Yukon. It's Yukon King, swiftest and strongest lead dog of the Northwest, blazing the trail for Sergeant Preston of the Northwest Mounted Police in his relentless pursuit of lawbreakers.
On King! On, you husky!
Gold! Gold discovered in the Yukon. A stampede to the Klondike in the wild race for riches. Back to the days of the gold rush. With Quaker puffed wheat and Quaker puffed rice, bringing you the adventures of Sergeant Preston and his wonder dog, Yukon King, as they meet the challenge of the Yukon.
There's no one that can make a better cereal than Quaker Puff Rice. It's nice. And when you hear that shooting, you're durn tootin' that Quaker makes the ones shot from guns.
Yes, both Quaker puffed rice and Quaker puffed wheat are shot from guns, exploded up to 8 times normal size. That's why these choice, flavor-rich premium grains are so crisp and tender. They're shot through and through with toasty, nut-like flavor, too. Just pour out a bowlful, top with fruit and milk or cream, and yummy, you're back for more. For a deluxe treat, eat delicious Quaker puffed rice and Quaker puffed wheat. Constable Tom Diamond put down his pen with a satisfied sigh. He was glad his reports were finished. When Sergeant Preston arrived in Reindeer Ridge on patrol, he'd find affairs in order. Tom Diamond glanced at his watch and muttered,
Noon. Claire said she'd be here at 12.
The constable left his desk and went to the shed that had been added to the rear of the office. He gathered a supply of firewood, was about to put it in the sheet iron stove when the front door opened.
Hi there, Claire. I'll be with you in a minute.
But instead of the feminine voice of his expected dinner partner, the constable heard the deep guttural tones of an Indian.
Oh, Bear Claw.
In his arms, Bear Claw carried an old man whose slight body was almost completely wrapped in furs. As Bear Claw placed him on the crude bunk, the old man opened his eyes. Though they were glazed with fever, he recognized the constable's red tunic and muttered,
Marty, constable.
That's right, Constable Diamond. Who are you?
Name's Bass. Joe Bass.
Now you talk to Constable. Bear Claw, go.
Hold on, Bear Claw.
Joe Bass drew a well-filled leather pouch from his trouser pocket and handed it to Bear Claw.
Here, Bear Claw. You've earned this gold.
Oh, thanks.
I've come here because I want to talk to a Mountie.
We'll talk while Bear Claw goes for Doc Thomas.
He go for doctor now.
Now, what's on your mind?
Is Bear Claw gone?
Yes.
I don't want anyone to hear what I have to say.
Well, what's so important that you have to see me before a doctor?
$30,000 in gold.
Now, easy, Joe. Easy. Take your time.
Not much time. I'm lucky I lasted this long. I got sick on the trail. I was on my way to town to meet my son.
Your son is coming to Reindeer Ridge?
That's right. He's been in the States studying medicine. Now he's finished school and he's coming here to practice. I was to meet him here in town. I had $30,000 in gold from my claim packed on my sled. I was bringing it to the bank. When I got sick, I knew I couldn't handle the dogs. I had to hide the dust.
I see.
After I hid it, I managed to get as far as Blue Eagle's Indian village. The chief wanted me to stay there, but if I died in the village, my boy, I'd never get the gold. That's why I
As
had
Joe
to come
Bass
here.
Talked to the constable, he didn't know that his words were overheard by Claire Bristol. Planning to surprise Tom Diamond, the tall, red-headed girl had quietly opened the door to the woodshed behind the office. Closing it softly, she tiptoed to the office door.
She had turned the handle carefully, and had opened the door less than an inch when she heard the words, $30,000 in gold. She stopped and listened. Through the narrow opening, she could see the constable. He took a piece of paper from the old prospector and put it in the pocket of his tunic. Claire carefully closed the partially opened office door. She crossed the flimsy woodshed to the door to the outside. She opened and closed the door stealthily and hurried to the cafe. She went directly to the rear of the long room. A thin, sallow, dark-haired man sat alone at a corner table playing solitaire. Claire sat down beside him. In a few words, she told Dodge Adams what she had seen and overheard outside the door of the constable's office.
And I saw Joe Bass give Tom the map. Tom put it into the pocket of his tunic.
If there was some way to get that map.
I'm not offering you half of the $30,000 for nothing, Dodge. You'll have to earn it by getting the map.
How will I get it?
That's for you to decide.
Well, it'd be easy if Diamond keeps it in the office. The lock on the back door would be a cinch to smash.
Tom knows that. He wouldn't keep anything of value in the office.
There's no way I can take it from him without being seen.
Then shoot him and take it.
What? And to think I had the idea you really cared about that policeman.
Tom Diamond's company is pleasant, Dodge. But it isn't as good as gold. I promised to have dinner with him, so I'd better go over to his office. I'll see you later, Doc.
Right.
It was 4 o'clock in the afternoon when the red-headed singer again met the gambler in the cafe.
What kept you, Claire?
I stayed in the office with Tom and the doc while they took care of the old sourdough.
How is he?
He died half an hour ago. Doc Thomas said he had pneumonia.
All the better for us, he's dead. What about the map?
Tom still has it with him. I saw him looking at it just before I left the office. He folded it and put it in the pocket of his tunic.
I'll try to keep my eye on him for the rest of the afternoon.
Then?
I'll not try to get the map until after dark.
Dodge Adams kept an unobtrusive watch on Constable Tom Diamond for the rest of the afternoon. Darkness fell, but the gambler had no opportunity to shoot the young policeman and steal the map. The long wait for a chance that would be foolproof and safe frayed Dodge Adams' nerves. As the moon rose, the streets of Reindeer Ridge were nearly deserted. Most of the townspeople were in the cafes and gambling halls. Constable Diamond began his nightly patrol of the town. He was heading for the Northern Lights Cafe. A shot rang out in the darkness of an alley between two buildings. The bullet hit the constable in the shoulder. He staggered back out of the line of fire. As he went down, he snatched his gun from the holster. He fired. Dodge hugged the side of a building and moved forward cautiously.
He's still alive. I'm likely to get my head blown off if I show myself to shoot again.
Unknown to the constable and Dodge Adams, Sergeant Preston and Yukon King were approaching.
Who's that?
The sergeant had heard the gunfire, and as he neared the scene of the ambush, lights spilling from the cafe windows illuminated the street where Tom Diamond had fallen. Preston recognized the constable and realized what was happening. Concealed by the buildings, Dodge could hear the excited voices of the people who were hurrying to investigate the shooting.
Too late to finish the constable now. I'll circle behind these buildings, then join the crowd.
When he reached the street, Dodge joined the crowd of townsmen who were running toward the place where Constable Diamond had fallen. Dodge saw another Mountie helping the young constable to his feet. He didn't know it was Sergeant Preston.
Oh, I'm all right, Sergeant. I stopped a bullet in my shoulder. When did you arrive?
In time to hear the gunplay. Who shot you?
I don't know. It was too dark to see him.
You able to walk to your office?
Oh, sure.
We'll go there.
I'll go get Doc Thomas.
Tell the doctor to come to the constable's office at once.
In the constable's office, Preston examined Tom's wound. Then the doctor arrived. The constable gritted his teeth and endured the painful removal of the bullet from his shoulder. The old physician dressed the wound and left the two policemen. The sergeant asked,
"Why were you shot, Tom?"
I wish I knew, Sergeant. I can't figure why I was shot or who shot me.
Any trouble with the Indians lately?
Oh, no. Blue Eagles Indians mind their own business. They get along fine with the folks around here. The fact is, one of the braves from the village brought an old-timer into town today. Poor Joe was dying. Say, I wonder if that map has anything to do with the shooting.
What map?
A map showing the way to $30,000 in gold.
Men have been murdered for a lot less than 30,000, Tom. You'd better tell me the story from the beginning.
I'll tell you all I know, sir.
I want to hear it, but first we'll put King outside to stand guard.
Why?
Someone wants to kill you, Tom. With King on guard, whoever it is will not have a chance to try again.
We'll continue our adventure in just a moment. Cut it out. Stop jumping around in that creek. You're splashing water all over yourself and everything.
Water be hanged, lad. Look at these here gold nuggets.
Gold? Why, to me, they just look like ordinary stone.
Say, if you'd pan gold as long as I have, you could tell they was genuine gold nuggets.
Is that so? Well, I guess there's always a way to tell the real McCoy of anything.
Sure, always is.
Like I tell the fellas and girls, Quaker puffed rice and Quaker puffed wheat come only in the big red and blue packages. A fine modern package with a sealed inner lining in order to doubly protect the flavor and crispness of the ones shot from guns.
Wait, hold up, lad. Did you say shot from guns?
Yes, sir. The one and only Quaker puffed rice and Quaker puffed wheat are the ones shot from guns. You see, Pete, that tells you they're the delicious breakfast cereals that are exploded up to 8 times normal size, so they're bigger and better tasting.
Just like gold nuggets. The bigger, the better.
Exactly. Quaker puffed wheat and Quaker puffed rice are king-size premium kernels that are puffed to perfection. Deliciously crisp, yet so tender they melt in your mouth.
Sound tasty.
Why, I just wish you could taste the delicious, toasty, nut-like flavor of Quaker puffed wheat or Quaker puffed rice.
Well, what are we waiting for?
Let's go. All we have to do is pour out heaping bowlfuls of Quaker puffed wheat or Quaker puffed rice and then top them with lots of milk or cream and fruit. And as all you fellows and girls know, Quaker puffed wheat and rice are not only swell tasting, they're nourishing too. They both furnish added food values of restored natural grain amounts of vitamin B1, niacin, and iron. For the real McCoy in a breakfast treat, always reach for Quaker puffed rice or Quaker puffed wheat. Now to continue. Sergeant Preston listened with interest to Tom's account of Joe's arrival in Reindeer Ridge and how the old man had given him the map.
Joe didn't want anyone to know about the map or the hidden gold. He waited until he was sure we were alone before he told me about it.
Do you think Bear Claw overheard the conversation?
Oh, he could have, Sergeant. I'd sent him to get Doc Thomas, but he might have gone around to the back of the office.
Huh?
If he'd managed to get inside the woodshed, he could hear what was said.
I'd like to question Bear Claw.
He left town, Sergeant. He's back at the Indian village now. Sergeant, it's King.
Stay where you are, Tom. I'll see what's going on.
Stay away from him, you curse! Stay back! Help! Help!
King! Quiet, fella.
Is this your dog?
Yes, he'll not harm you.
Not harm? Well, he certainly acted as if he would. Well, you're a Mountie.
I'm Sergeant Preston.
Oh. Well, I'm Claire Bristol. I heard Tom was wounded. Came here to find out how he is.
Claire, is that you?
Oh, yes, Tom. I stopped by to see if you were all right.
I'm fine, thanks.
Oh, I'm glad to hear that. Sergeant Preston, does Tom have any idea who shot him?
No, he doesn't.
I can't understand why anyone would try to murder him. Poor Tom. Well, now that you're here, Sergeant, I'm sure he'll be safe.
Well, I hope so. Would you come in, Miss Bristol?
Well, thank you, but now that I know Tom's all right, I'll go back to the cafe.
I'm sorry King frightened you.
I think that dog is dangerous. He should be on a leash.
He was doing his job, Miss Bristol.
Well, good night, Sergeant Preston.
Good night. Good work, King. Stay on guard, boy.
Did Claire go back to the cafe?
Yes.
She works there, Sergeant. She's a singer.
I guessed as much from her appearance. She seemed to be quite concerned about you.
Oh, did she? She's a sweet girl, Sergeant. Too bad King didn't know she's a friend.
Tom Diamond would have revised his opinion of Claire Bristol if he had overheard her conversation with Dodge Adams a short time later.
The two conspirators spoke in low tones as they sat together in the crowded Northern Light Cafe.
So you didn't get the map either, Claire.
Oh, I didn't dare make a try with two Mounties there. Not only that, Preston has a dog. I'm sure that animal would have jumped me if I'd pulled a gun.
How come Preston's in town?
Oh, he's here on special patrol. There's to be a meeting of the leaders of several Indian tribes, and as I understand it, the sergeant's going to preside. Tom knew he was coming.
Is the meeting to be in town?
Well, from what Tom told me, it's going to be held at Blue Eagle's Indian Village.
And Sergeant Preston will be leaving town soon.
He can't get out fast enough to suit me.
You're sure they don't know who shot Diamond?
I told you what Sergeant Preston said. They don't know who shot him or why he was shot.
Yeah, it's a good thing they don't suspect we're after the map.
I'm going to call on Tom tomorrow. If Preston isn't with him, I may be back with the map.
Sergeant Preston and King spent the night in the constable's office. Tom Diamond slept in the bunk while a sergeant occupied a borrowed cot. Sergeant Preston was up early the next morning. He had finished dressing when Tom wakened.
Gosh, Sergeant, why didn't you waken me?
Thought you could use a little extra rest, Tom. How's the shoulder this morning?
It's plenty lame. Probably be all right in a day or so.
In the meantime, I think you'd better stay with Doc Thomas.
What? With Doc Thomas? Why?
Well, they've a spare bedroom and probably would be very glad to have you stay with them for a few
What's
days.
What's your real reason for suggesting that, Sergeant?
Well, Tom, I can't stay here. I have to leave today to attend the meeting in Blue Eagle's Village.
Oh, I know that.
If the person who shot you wants Joe's map, he'll make another try for it.
That's true.
I'm going to leave King with you. He'll guard you. No one will steal the map as long as King's on the job.
I see what you mean.
I suggest that you stay at Doc Thomas's because I want this office to be empty. But let it be known that you have a valuable map locked in your office.
Well, now, hold on, Sergeant. Anyone could break into this office and steal the map. I never keep anything of value here.
I'll draw a fake map.
Oh, I thought perhaps you meant to copy Joe's map.
No, we'll draw one of our own. If it's stolen, it will convict the man who tries to follow it to the hidden gold.
But what about the real map?
I'll take it with me.
Good idea, Sergeant. That way it's sure to be safe. Here it is.
Thanks, Tom. I'll take good care of it. And before I leave town, I'll get a new lock at the trading post. I'll put the new lock on your office door. Anyone seeing it will think you're taking steps to safeguard the map.
I think your scheme will work, Sergeant.
If it does nothing else, it may save your life, Tom. I hope it will also trap your would-be killer.
Sergeant Preston had already left Reindeer Ridge when Claire Bristol arrived at Doc Thomas's to call on Constable Diamond. With a great deal of pretended concern, she said...
When I heard you'd been moved to Doc Thomas's, I was really worried, Tom. Are you sure you're all right?
Oh, I can't use my left arm, but aside from that, I'm all right, Claire. It's awfully sweet of you to be worried about me, though.
Tom, some of the prospectors who came to the cafe this morning said Sergeant Preston put a new lock on the back door of your office.
That's right.
Why?
Well, It isn't generally known, Claire, but I have a mighty important map in my office. I told Sergeant Preston about it, and he decided that since the office would be empty for a day or so, we'd better put a new lock on the door.
Oh, then you're keeping the map in the office.
Where else would I keep it?
Well, I suppose that is the best place for it. Is it a map to a gold claim, Tom?
It might be, Claire.
Well, is it or isn't it?
That's a secret.
All right, I won't ask you to tell me about it. But it does sound very mysterious and exciting. How soon will you be able to go out,
Tom? As she chatted with the constable, Claire's mind was busy with plans. After she left, several other people called on the wounded Mountie and admired the great dog Sergeant Preston had left on guard. That night, Dodge Adams used an iron bar to smash the lock on the back door of the policeman's office. Inside, he put blankets over the windows. Then he lit a lantern and began a methodical search for the map.
Maybe it's locked in this desk drawer. Good thing I brought this iron bar. I can use it on the desk, too. There. Here's a sealed envelope with Dick Bass's name on it. This must be it. It is. It's the map. Now to get back to Claire. Here it is, Claire.
Yes. Yes, the gold's hidden beyond Blue Eagle's Indian Village, according to this map.
The old-timer must have buried the gold, then made his way to the village.
We're going to need a sled and a strong dog team to move that much gold.
I'll take care of getting the sled.
I'm due to sing another song in 10 minutes, then I can clear out of here.
You'll come with me to get it?
If I didn't, you might get ideas of keeping it all for yourself.
I wouldn't do that, Claire.
You're not going to get a chance. Get the sled and dogs and meet me at the back door in a half an hour.
Shortly after Claire and Dodge left town, the news that someone had broken into his office reached the constable. As soon as he learned that the map had been stolen, Tom Diamond and King started after the thief. The clouds that had obscured the moon earlier in the evening cleared. Claire and Dodge had no difficulty reading the map by moonlight. They passed the Indian village and turned as the map directed. They traveled for less than a mile after leaving the trail when Claire called...
Stop the dogs, Dodge.
Who? Who you, Husky? Who there?
The gold should be hidden under that brush at the foot of the pine tree.
I hope we can get it without being seen by the Indians. We're trespassing on Indian land.
We passed the Indian village about a mile back. This can't be Blue Eagle's land.
We made a turn that took us back toward the village. Come on, Claire, let's get the gold and clear out of here.
Claire and Dodge walked toward the tall pine tree that towered above evergreen shrubs and trees. As they neared the thicket, they heard a sharp command.
Stop! That's far enough.
What?
A moment later, Sergeant Preston stepped into view from behind the screen of trees and underbrush.
Sergeant Preston!
I'm as surprised as you are, Miss Pistol. I didn't expect to meet you here. Where's your friend?
Dodge, your gun. Shoot him.
You... Don't try it.
Oh, you shot him.
I smashed his gun.
My hand.
Your hand wasn't touched by the bullet. Who are you?
Dodge Adams.
Don't tell him anything, Dodge. He has no right to question us.
I don't have to ask questions to know you're after Joe Bass's gold.
But you can't prove that.
The map in your hand is proof enough, Miss Bristol. Oh. Destroying the map isn't likely to help you.
There. It's torn and scattered by the wind. Now you'll never be able to prove we had a map.
You followed that map exactly. I know, because I drew it.
What?
What?
I planted that map in Constable Diamond's office so the thief would be led to Blue Eagle's land. The main trail has been watched ever since I arrived in the village. When Bear Claw saw you coming, he told me I had time to reach these trees ahead of you.
Then it was a trap.
Of course it was a trap.
Hey, what are you
Suddenly,
doing?
Suddenly, without warning, Claire grabbed Dodge, shielding herself with the gambler.
I'm going back to the sled. If you try and stop me, you'll have to kill Dodge.
You dirty little double-crosser, you're not going to get me killed.
With a sudden effort, Dodge wrenched free of Claire's grip. As he threw himself to the side, he lost his balance and fell to the ground. Claire ran for the sled.
Stop, Claire!
You're not going to shoot a woman!
Preston's bullet clipped the sleeve of Claire Bristol's parka. The red-headed singer stopped in her tracks. He was about to make a break for it when Preston snapped.
Stay where you are, Dodge.
I'm not moving.
Claire, that was a warning shot. The next one will be closer.
All right, I give up.
Trying to use me as a shield.
You're both under arrest in the name of the Crown.
You need help, Sergeant Preston.
The situation's under control, Bearclaw. If you'll handcuff the prisoners, we'll take them to the village.
Use me for a shield, will you? You'll not get away with it, Claire.
Oh, you bungling idiot. I should have known better than depend on you. He's the one who shot Tom Diamond, Sergeant Preston.
It was your idea, and you know it. I'll not take all the blame, Claire. You can't pin all of the rap on me.
As the two conspirators upbraided each other for the failure of their plans, Preston learned all he needed to know of the plan to steal the map. With Dodge and Claire in custody, he went back to the village to pick up the signed treaty he was to deliver to Dawson. Then he and Bearclaw started the return trip to Reindeer Ridge. On the trail, they met the constable and King. Two policemen joined forces. After the prisoners were in jail, the sergeant and Tom Diamond went to Doc's home, where Dick Bass was waiting for them. The constable told Dick of his father's death and the attempt to steal the map.
And, Dick, now that our prisoners are in jail, we can safely give you the map your father left with the constable. Here you are.
Well, then this is the map you said Dad left for me?
That's right, Dick. It shows the place where he hid $30,000 in gold.
Gold? I'd give all the gold in the world to have my dad back. Gold's only good for what it will buy.
Dick, everyone must die. No one lives forever. It's only the good men do that endures.
But poor Daddy.
He's given you the means to do good in his name.
Why, the gold. If I use it for something worthwhile...
That's what I mean, Dick.
A constable. While I was waiting for you, I talked to Doc Thomas. He's getting old and tired. He needs help.
What about it, Dick?
Dad and I are the ones to help him.
Well, you're a doctor. You could help him, but your dad...
My dad's gold is going to equip an office. A little hospital with cots where a few patients can be treated and taken care of. Then, as cash comes in from the claim, we'll enlarge the hospital. Doc, my dad and I will join forces to fight sickness and disease.
Oh, Dick, that sounds fine. You...
What's wrong, Tom?
Doggone shoulder is still sore.
Do you want me to look at it?
No, it'll be all right in a few days. The thing that... hurts more than the shoulder is something no doctor can help.
Well, what's that?
Knowing I was wrong about a red-headed cafe singer named Claire. Let me help you with your big plan, Dick. Maybe work will make it easier to forget her.
Well, I don't know about Claire, Constable, but we'll need a lot of help.
Good luck to you, Dick. Come along, King.
Hey, Sergeant, where are you going?
King and I are going to Dawson now that this case is closed.
Sergeant Preston will return in just a moment with a word about our next exciting adventure. Question: what's the deluxe breakfast dish that's economical? Answer: of course, it's Quaker Puffed Wheat or Quaker Puffed Rice, topped with milk or rich yellow cream and sweet chilled fruit. And it's economical because it appeals to the whole family. There's no waste. Everyone at the breakfast table reaches for the one shot from gun, because everyone likes the toasty, nut-like flavor of the good natural grain. It's the sun-ripened natural flavor that Old Mother Nature puts into it. You bet. Quaker Puffed Wheat and Quaker Puffed Rice are never coated with factory sweetening. So they appeal to those who like their cereal not so sweet, and also to those who like it very, very sweet. That's the beauty of Quaker Puffed Rice and Quaker Puffed Wheat. Each member of the family can sweeten them with sugar to suit their own special taste. And remember, too, they give your family extra food values: restored natural grain amounts of vitamin B1, niacin, and iron.
So, Mom, when you shop tomorrow, be sure to get delicious, nourishing Quaker Puffed Rice and Quaker Puffed Wheat. For deluxe economical breakfast, the whole family enjoys.
And now, here is Sergeant Preston.
Reporting for duty, Inspector.
I'd like you to interview a man called Spike Grady, Sergeant. You'll find him at the Palace Hotel.
Yes, sir.
He's reported an attempt on his life.
When, sir?
Last night, near the waterfront. You'll have to get the details from him.
I'll see him at once, sir.
Spike Grady waited anxiously for a Mountie to come to the hotel. But when he saw Sergeant Preston entering the building, his anxiety turned to panic. Here was the one police officer in the Yukon who would recognize him as Mike Garrett, wanted for murder in Skagway. Garrett, alias Grady, made his plans. If the sergeant entered his room, he must never leave it alive. Don't miss this next exciting adventure. These radio dramas, a feature of Sergeant Preston of the Yukon Incorporated, are created by George W. Trendle, produced by Trendle Campbell Muir Incorporated, directed by Fred Flowerday, and supervised by Charles D. Livingston. The part of Sergeant Preston is played by Paul Sutton. Sergeant Preston of the Yukon is brought to you every Tuesday and Thursday at the same time by Quaker Puffed Wheat and Quaker Puffed Rice, the breakfast cereal shot from guns. Only Quaker Pak-O-Ten has all your family's cereal favorites. A regular cereal pantry. That's Quaker Pak-O-Ten. 6 different delicious ready-to-serve cereals. 10 crisp, fresh individual servings. Pak-O-Ten, and only Pak-O-Ten, has wheat and rice shot from guns. And Pak-O-Ten alone has the individual packages with the cellophane windows. There's both an inner and outer cellophane wrap to doubly protect that day it's made Christmas. Pick up a pack of Pak-O-Ten at your grocer's tomorrow. This is J. Michael wishing you goodbye, good luck, and good health from Quaker Puffed Wheat and Quaker Puffed Rice. So long. Listen tomorrow at the same time to The Green Hornet, brought to you by the drink that makes you feel fresh again, delicious Orange Crush. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.